All right, let's turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Well, the love, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, it's love unspeakable. It's incomprehensible. We can't understand such a love. We can't get the picture. We just can't. We know that God loves us. And according to John 17:23, we know that he loved us as he loved our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that the love of God is in our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Romans 8:39. But to grasp the love of God in his three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is just beyond a finite created intelligence cannot comprehend that. Just can't do it. But we can see it, for we see through a glass darkly. We can't comprehend the extent of it and the measure of it. But we know, whether we understand it fully or not, we know it's true. And the reason we know it's true, because that's what the scriptures teach us, which are by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's our faith, what we know by faith. We believe and are sure. We're sure because we believe. Verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now, with all our failures and frustrations that we have, like the Apostle Paul, as our brother read in Romans chapter 7, verses 10 through 25, we do what we would not. In other words, we have thoughts, motives, words, actions that we regret, that are sinful, that cause us distress, and things that we don't do, and we don't do the things we should, things we omit. And the reason for that is sin that dwelleth in us. Now, if we say we have no sin, turn over to chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Let's begin reading at verse 6. No. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light. Now the light there is the gospel. If we walk depending every moment, every hour, every step, every heartbeat, whether we are mindful of it or not, but in the back of our minds, our thought is fixed that the Lord Jesus Christ is our all in all. And we walk in this world with that attitude that we are indeed in Christ and dead to the law in being crucified with Him. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, in other words, He is the light. And He's in the light. He is the light of the world. We have fellowship one with another. Now there are a few of us that can come here and hear the preaching of the gospel and delight in the preaching of the gospel because it is the truth. We delight in the truth. We don't come here to get charged up in the flesh like so many congregations do. And because of natural, earthly emotions, fleshly opinions, and things like that, we come here because we love the gospel that is presented to us in the gospel. That's what we want to hear. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth continually. Cleanseth. That means it's always happening. Cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we have no sin, that's saying we have no need of Christ and being cleansed continually from our sins. Sins of thought, word, deed, attitude, desire, whatsoever. But we are continually dead to sin by the blood of Christ. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin, because Christ has already paid our sin debt in full and forever. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. So now, even while we endure all these failures and frustrations as we walk through this world, now, even right now, even this moment, we are the children of God. And we are eternal children. We've always been the children of God. We just didn't know it. It is manifest to us that we are the children of God because we peculiarly, however you say that, believe, because there's not all men have faith. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And being the sons of God, we know these things. We know that when our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified at Calvary, we were crucified with Him. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Let's just look at these scriptures and we'll pass through them quickly. Galatians 2:20. Now the Apostle Paul here is speaking, and he's speaking as one member with many, and he's speaking for all the members, and that's the members of Christ. And he says, I am crucified with Christ. Well, every believer in all the world, in all ages, in all places, of all races, of all conditions, whether in poverty or riches, can have and should have that same testimony, I am crucified with Christ. And if we're crucified with Christ, then we are dead with Christ. Look at Colossians 2:20. We'll just go through these verses that we've been over all these, but we'll go through them again. Colossians 2:20. Colossians is right after Philippians. Colossians 2:20. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ. We are dead with Christ. We are entered into his death. We've been baptized into his death by spiritual baptism. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, delivered from the rudiments of the world, which is a reference to the law, because it was a worldly law and held in the worldly sanctuary and all that, Romans 9, or Hebrews chapter 9. From the rudiments of the world, why as though living in the world are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish after the commandments and doctrines of men. All right, so we're dead. We're crucified with Christ. Therefore, we're dead with Christ. Now look at Romans 7:4. Romans 7:4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Crucified with Christ, dead with Christ, therefore dead to the law by the body of Christ. Now, since the law is the strength of sin, 1 Corinthians 15:56, I think it is, then we're also dead to sin. Look at Romans 6:2, or 6:1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Nay, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We're baptized into his death. Chapter, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized and we were joined to him in his death? And he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. The same spirit that's in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the spirit of Christ, is in us. Therefore, in Galatians 2, the Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. It's Christ that lives in us principally by his spirit that influences our conduct, our actions, our thoughts, our being. Christ liveth in us. So we're crucified with Christ, we're dead with Christ, we're dead to the law, we're dead to sin. Look at 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. So, crucified with Christ, we're dead with Christ, we're dead to the law by the body of Christ, we're dead to sin, and we are made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us. God the Father has made his Son to be sin for us, that is the election of grace, who knew no sin, that is Christ Jesus, knew no sin, had no sin, did no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We are made. Believers are made the righteousness of God in our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Isaiah chapter 61. Verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Here's the reason. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. Now, if I'm clothed with the garments of salvation, it's because he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. How do I know I'm clothed with the garments of salvation? Because I believe the gospel. I believe the promise of God. And he hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Now notice who's the active agent in all this. It is he that hath clothed me with garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. He hath covered my nakedness, my evil, my sins, my guilt, everything about that. He has covered it with the robe of righteousness, and it's hid out of sight. It is no more. As a bridegroom decketh himself with his ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Now, so we are made by the power of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are made the righteousness of God in him. Now are we the children of God. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, of God the Father, according to his purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Well, look at redemption. Is he all of our redemption? He's all our redemption. We are purchased with his blood. We had nothing to give. We didn't participate in that purchase. We didn't add nothing to the price he paid. He is all our redemption. We cannot supply anything. Everything that we have is polluted with sin. Everything that comes from us is polluted with sin. If it comes from us as we are in nature, it is defiled under our own defilements. Well, he's our sanctification. Now, is he all of our sanctification? He's all of our sanctification. We can't add anything to it. We grow in grace, but we cannot grow in holiness because the Lord Jesus Christ is our holiness. He's our sanctification. We are separated from this world in him. We didn't do that. God did that before the foundation of the world. We can't add anything to it. How about our righteousness? He is all our righteousness. And our wisdom. We wouldn't know anything at all about God except as we behold him in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, 6. Let me just turn over there right quick and read that. 2 Corinthians 4, 6. verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. Now, if we have light in our hearts, if we have any knowledge of God in our hearts, it's because God hath shined in our hearts, hath shined his light in our hearts. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, whereat? In the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we want to know God, we have to know him through, in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And the Lord said to him, Have I been so long time with you, and hast thou not known me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. All right, so those are the things that we rest on. Those are the issues from death that belong to God, that He has freely given us. Psalms 68:20. The issues from death belong to the Lord. And it's the issues from the death of the Lord Jesus Christ are ours. We died with Him. We're dead to the law by Him. We're dead to sin by Him. We're made the righteousness of God by His death. Those issues from death belong to us. They are our life. But look at, let's go back to 1 John 3. 1 John chapter 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. By our confidence in those basic gospel principles. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. In other words, we don't, in the afterlife, when we die here and we put off this veil of corruption, we don't know what we're going to be. Now, there is a body prepared for us in heaven, and we don't know anything about that. And we're going to be clothed upon with that body while our soul and spirit are separated from this body. But when God gathers this dust together and changes it into that new spiritual body that we're going to have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that glorified body, we don't know what that body is going to be. Look at Philippians. Right after Ephesians, Philippians chapter 3. For our citizenship, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation, that is our citizenship, for our citizenship is in heaven, right now. Yeah. We're next door neighbors to the Apostle Peter right now. For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto His own glorious body, unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. We know that's what we're going to be, but we don't know what it is. We're going to be like Him. Well, why are we going to be like Him? Because we shall see Him as He is, with eyes of that glorified spiritual body. Back to 1 John chapter 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know. Now this is part of the knowledge that we rest in when our failures overcome us. And we do what we ought not, and we don't do what we should, as the Apostle Paul. We know that when He shall appear, that's when, at the resurrection of the just, He's going to appear and call us from the dust, and something's going to come out of the ground. I don't know what. A spiritual body is going to come out of the ground. Look at 1 Corinthians First Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 46. First Corinthians 15:46. Howbeit, or nevertheless, that was not first which is spiritual. In other words, the body that we had is not the spiritual body first, but the natural. But that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual, after the resurrection of the just. After we endure this life and are taught of our citizenship in glory through regeneration, and after we die and are resurrected, then we put on the spiritual body. The first man is of the earth, earthy, the natural man. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. We shall be like him. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we also shall bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment and twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall raise incorruptible. No more sickness, no more disease, no more COVID-19, no more colds and flu, no more broke legs, none of that foolishness. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So then, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, as it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Look at verse 42. Well, let's go back to verse 40. Well, let's go back to verse 39. All flesh is not the same, but there is one kind of flesh of men, and another kind of beast, and another of fishes and of birds. Now he's bringing out that there's different kinds of beings. There's the angelic host. There's two races of natural men in the family of God, angels and men. Part of the angelic host fell and have no redemption. All of the human race fell in the fall of Adam, but some of them are redeemed. All right, so there's different kinds of flesh. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. One star differeth from another in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. That is, our natural body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. Now, we are now in a state of grace. We will be in a state of glory. Psalm 84:11, he will give grace and glory. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory, it is sown in weakness. Look at this. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, the last Adam is a quickening spirit. So we don't know what it will be exactly. But we know that we'll be like Him. Children of God. We're already the children of God. We're sons and daughters of God. Although in the resurrection, they neither married or given in marriage, but they're like the angels in heaven. They're without any abilities of procreation. We just are what we are. But we will have on us the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye also shall appear with Him in glory. Now we're in a state of grace. Then we're going to be in a state of glory. Whose glory? His glory. We'll be in His righteousness, in His holiness, His redemption, by His wisdom, and in His glory. Now, all right, let's go back over to 1 John chapter 3. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Because we shall see Him as He is. Now we see Him by faith. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. But it says, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him because we shall see Him as He is. So we're going to be in a walk by sight then and not by faith. In a walk by faith, we see through a glass darkly. We know just enough to know who we are and what belongs to us. Whose heirs we are. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Let's go back up here. Let's go to chapter, verse 8. 1 Corinthians 13:8. Charity, that is love, never faileth. And it's talking about the love of God, which is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, according to Romans 5:2, I think it is. Charity never faileth, or the love of God never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Now when we get to glory and see the Lord Jesus Christ in person, we're not going to need prophecies. Preaching will be over. We'll be in His presence. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. tongues were for the unbeliever. There's not going to be any unbelievers there. And the tongues have ceased now because there's no need of them, because it was an apostolic gift made for the confirmation of God, of their ministry and the gospel that they ministered. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part is done away. So our knowledge, which is now in part, will be done away because it will be replaced with a perfect knowledge as we view the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly. Now in grace in this world. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then in glory after the resurrection of the just, but then face to face. We'll be in the very presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, in whose presence we are at this moment. He fills heaven and earth. We're in his presence now. But then face to face, now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. Well, how am I known now? Well, I know myself pretty well. I look in the mirror, I can see myself. I know my thoughts, I know this and that and the other. Then I'm going to know the Lord Jesus Christ as I am known of him. Now, in our glorification of our bodies, not only is our corrupted body going to be changed, but our minds is going to be restored to that native, intuitive intelligence that we had in our first creation. And now by sight of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be changed into the same image and from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord, as we behold him as he is. We look darkly now, we can't behold him as he is. But then we shall be able, we shall have the ability to behold him as he is with a renewed mind. It's partly done now by the renewing of our mind. But it's going to be completely done then. Every trace and effect of sin will be taken away. We're not going to be what we are. We're going to be what he is. Now, all these churches that got Christ hanging on the cross in his deepest shame and humiliation, that's not who he is. That's not beholding him as he is. That's looking at him in his deepest humiliation that he went to put away our sin. It is incomprehensible and inexpressible what he is. You can't get it painted on a piece of paper or carved out in a statue or any other thing. We don't know him as he is now. We know him in part. And so those churches that try to worship God in looking at an image, a statue, a painting, a picture plastered on the wall, that's not right. They know him as he was. They look at him as he was, not as he is. We have to have a perfected mind to know him as he is. And it's not by faith, it's in glory. Look at Psalm 84, verse 11. Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. How do you walk uprightly? Well, you walk in faith in this world. You walk depending on the Lord Jesus Christ for your all, for everything. Now look at 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 3. Beloved, now are we the children of God. Now, I'm back in 1 John 3, 1, but I want you to stay in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I just want to come back here and read this. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, when he comes in glory, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We can't see him that way now. But we will see him as he is. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, when we behold him as he is, then we will be changed, or will have been changed, into that same glory, which is the glory that his Father gave him when he sent him into this world. And we will appear in his glory, because we're heirs of God and fellow heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're fellow heirs of the glory that his Father gave him as man and mediator, not as God, as the Son of God, as God the Son. His own essential glory is the glory of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, which they're all the same. But the glory that the Father gave him, his mediatorial glory, is the glory that he's speaking of. Look at John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Verse 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, The Father, the hour is come. The hour that has hung in expectation from the days of eternity. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now, his glory as God is his own essential glory, but God gave him glory in entrusting everything into his hand. God has put everything in the hands of the man, Christ Jesus. He is the only expression of God, and it is by him alone that we know the nature and will of God. Now, what glory is that, that such an obligation should be hung on one who is a man? And all the other things, he's the only mediator, he's the only savior, he's the only sanctifier, he's everything. That's the glory that God gave him. And we'll share in his glory. Look at Romans 8:15. Romans 8:15. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. I'll wait just a minute. Romans 8:15. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You see, as Christ liveth in us, it's by his spirit of adoption that we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So now, are we the children of God? And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But when he shall appear in glory, we shall see him as he is and be changed into the same image, being predestinated thereunto by God the Father. Elected by God the Father, redeemed by God the Son, called by God the Spirit, and the purpose and grace of God was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So even though we live in the mully grub sometimes on snowy days when we're locked up at home, can't get out, and we just seem like can't see anything good, we can think on those things and find some hope. All right.